Beautiful Sunday, everyone. Welcome to our worship celebration. Kindly turn your Bibles now to Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in His Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all the godly ones. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we want to praise You. We want to ascribe glory to You. And we want to know what that means, Lord. We don't want this phrase to be just a byword for us, a word that we're just used to saying. We want to know, Lord, what it means to indeed live a life of praise. And so we ask You to teach us and preach to our hearts as we look at Your word, Your inerrant word, Your all authoritative word, Your always relevant word. Allow the meditations of our hearts and minds, O God, and the words that would come out of my mouth be pleasing to You, O praiseworthy King. This is our heart's cry in Christ's most precious name. Amen and amen. Blessed Sunday, everyone. For the past 4 weeks, we were blessed with messages that ascribe glory to God's name as we looked at Psalm 145, looking at the divine attributes of God. And we can never exhaust the truths in it. In fact, I was actually tempted to look at Psalm 145 for today. But I'm not. We're going to be looking at Psalm 149. But by way of introduction, let me take you to Psalm 145 again. And let's just read the first two verses of Psalm 145. I will extol You, my God and King, and bless Your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless You and praise Your name forever and ever. What we have in these two verses is a conviction to praise God on two occasions. There is a conviction to praise God daily. I will extol You, my God and King, verse 1. Every day I will bless You, verse 2. But it also speaks of praising God till eternity. And bless Your name forever and ever, verse 1. And praise Your name forever and ever, verse 2. And we understand that. We know that the Lord, our God, is so awesome that He deserves our praise, all our praise, all the time. But we know, in all honesty, that there are times that we don't feel like praising Him. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you don't feel like praising God right now. And in fact, if we would be truly honest with ourselves, the phrase, praise the Lord, is hard to come out of our mouths. It's also hard to hear that phrase from someone else's mouth. Tama? And so, if you're a Christian and you have spent much time in the church or Christian groups, you have heard that word hallelujah a number of times, hundreds of times perhaps. But what does it mean? Ano ba yung hallelujah? Did you know that the last five chapters of the whole Psalter, the book of Psalms, is called the Hallelujah Psalms? Because each Psalm 146 to 150, starts with the phrase, praise the Lord. And that is wonderful. Look at Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it's pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. Praise the Lord, 148, verse 1. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. And did you know that not only that these psalms, each psalm starts with praise the Lord, they also end with praise the Lord, telling us indeed that these are praise psalms, the hallelujah psalms. And that is just so wonderful. Because as we look at the whole Psalter, as we look at the whole compilation of songs, what we see from beginning towards the middle is sin, depression, sadness, gloom, loneliness, distress. And the five concluding psalms tells us, looking at the previous chapters and going to the last leg of the ancient hymn, we see a beautiful pattern, a beautiful scenery of psalms, of praising God, of giving and ascribing glory to God, right? And that is just so wonderful. That is encouraging. Let me share with you what you already know. Remember when I was in the States, I almost got stuck there. And it was March, and that was the time when COVID-19 was escalating. My trip to Texas needed to be canceled because I was supposed to fly through Seattle, one of the hot spots then of COVID-19. So I needed to stay for 2 weeks in Alaska. And it was then that my flight going back to Manila has been moved twice and been canceled. And just imagine the torture, being away from my family, my church, and then hearing from my wife that she has been having asthma attacks. Kasi lagi siya nag-disinfect. So it has been irritating her lungs. Not to mention she's in charge of the house of our then 12-year-old daughter Yana and two senior citizens, her mom and her aunt, who were with them that time. To make matters worse, towards the end, last 2 weeks ng March, nasira pa yung tubo ng tubig. And so I can hear from my wife as I talk to her daily that she's trying to be strong, but I can hear her having a hard time. It was torture for me. But when I was going home, when the airplane was landing sa Naiya, nung nag-travel ako from airport to our house, as we were entering the subdivision, I was in tears. Kasi yung torture, yung sadness, yung stress, yung discouragement, yung depression, biglang nag-fade away because I'm finally home. Such is what we see in the last five psalms, the hallelujah psalms. After looking at sin, gloom, distress, dismay, depression, we see a conviction to praise God. A conviction to praise God. And so I think it would do us well to even look at this one of the five. And that's what we're going to do today. We'll be looking at one of the five, Psalm 149. Just, what do you mean by hallelujah? We're talking about hallelujah psalms. What do we mean by hallelujah? Hallelujah comes from two words. Halal means to boast, and Yah, a shortened version of Yahweh, the personal name of God. So put them together, it means to boast in the Lord, to speak or to assert with excessive pride. The word halal normally would just mean to be to display pride in oneself. But hallelujah's case denotes display and assertion of pride and glory and honor in the Lord. So whenever we say hallelujah, we are saying, let's give glory to God. Let's praise the Lord. But we know that it's hard at times to say hallelujah. We know at times it's hard to say praise the Lord. During those praiseless times, what should we do? Psalm 149 will be a wonderful help for us. looking at Psalm 149 as a whole, we see three significant points of interest. First, it's written to believers, people who genuinely are pursuing a personal relationship with God. Hindi lang sila yung casual, they're not just fans, they're true followers. Verse 1, verse 5, verse 9, we see a specific mention of the godly ones. Another thing that we can see here is that this is written, or this was written to Jewish believers. And we see that evident as we hear such terms as Israel in verse 2, sons of Zion in verse 2, his people in verse 4, and the nations referring to the non-Jews, the Gentiles in verse 7. But we also see it falls into three sections, and this will be our heading as we study Psalm 149. Each section has to do with certain times in which we are to praise the Lord. So let me give to you now our outline as we study Psalm 149. Today we'll be seeing three ways to develop a lifestyle of praise. We were encouraged to daily extol God's name, to praise His name every day, a life that reflects our activity that will be done in eternity. That we saw that in Psalm 145. Psalm 149 would tell us that in the rough times, we still need to praise the Lord. And here we see three practical ways. Verse 1 to 3, we see that we should praise God in times of blessings. How do we develop a lifestyle of praise? We praise God in times of blessings. Verse 45, we read that we ought to praise God in times of sufferings. To develop a lifestyle of praise, we need to praise God in times of suffering. In verse 6 to 9, we see we need to praise God in times of warfare. We need to praise God in times of warfare. So three headings. These are outlined for today. How do we develop a lifestyle of praise? We praise God in times of blessing. We praise God in times of suffering. And we praise God in times of warfare. Psalm 149 is a good place for us to look into so that we would develop a practical lifestyle of praise. Look at verse 1 to 3 as we look at the first heading. We praise the Lord in times of blessing. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in His Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and lyre. Friends, times of blessing should prompt us spontaneous praise. When food fills our refrigerators, di ba? Ang sarap nun, pag puno-puno ng pagkain ng ating ref o yung ating mga cupboards, right? When everyone is free from sickness or illness or injury, when no enemies or tragedies threaten us, it's natural for us to sing a thanksgiving, shouts of praise. And looking closely at these first three verses, we see the songwriter giving us three commands as he discusses times of blessings. He tells us to sing, verse 1, to be glad in verse 2, and to praise His name in verse 3. First, the psalmist urges us to sing a new song. When God brings goodness into our lives, walang problema, walang pagkukulang. You need to understand that God loves to hear from us. He loves to hear us respond with fresh and spontaneous expressions of delight. Napansin niyo, sabi ng writer, sing a new song. What does he mean by that? Ano ibig sabihin na to sing a new song? Look at your Bibles again. To whom is the new song for? Again? The Lord. Did you see? all caps, Lord. That is God's faithful name. Yahweh, that is His faithful name. The one who has been faithful from the very beginning. In context, the Israelites can look back to the many marvelous times when God has provided for them, defended them, preserved them, protected them. And so God's chosen people has experienced His goodness in the past and should not settle for old songs. As He continues to shower them with mercies, new mercies and new grace. Diba? Sabi sa Lamentations, they are new every morning. Not that they ran out of, that God runs out of mercies. It's just so wonderful that He gives new mercies and new grace. Listen to Charles Spurgeon commenting on this. And I quote, "Praise ye the Lord, especially you, ye chosen people, whom He has made to be His saints. You have praised Him aforetime," meaning before, "praise Him yet again. Yea, forever praise Him. With renewed zeal and fresh delight, lift up your song unto Jehovah. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing, for it is the fittest method for expressing reverent praise. Sing a hymn newly composed, for you have now a new knowledge of God. He is ever new in His manifestations. His mercies are new every morning. His deliverances are new in every night of sorrow. Let your gratitude and thanksgiving be new also. It is well to repeat the old. It is more useful to invent the new." End quote. I like that. I say amen to that. Diba? God who is so faithful and ever faithful, diba? As we experience His faithful, we have new discoveries. We have new understanding of who He is. A personal understanding. So therefore, yes, old songs can do, but we need to sing a new song. But there's more to the call to sing a new song. In this verse, even better when we gather with other godly ones to celebrate God, the Lord's blessing. Diba? We openly share our times of troubles and our heartaches to our friends, but however, we seldom gather our friends for the sake of celebrating God's abundant blessings. And the operative phrase there is godly ones. These are not just casual friends. These are godly friends. These are genuine believers who weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And they celebrate no one else but the Lord who bestows blessings. We are to sing a new song and praise our ever faithful God with the godly ones as we experience new mercies and new grace every morning. Whenever He bestows blessings upon us, we should sing. We should sing and sing a new song and celebrate with our godly friends to give glory to His name. Second, the songwriter calls for God's people to be glad. Look at verse 2. "Let Israel be glad in his Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King." If you would look closely, friends, yung vocabulary ng psalm na ito, we see joy resonating from this psalm. Look at verse 2. Be glad or be happy. Verse 2 again, rejoice. Parang circle in joy, parang dance of celebration. Verse 5, exult. Jubilant joy expressed in shouting and singing. Verse 5 again, sing for joy. Ringing shouts of joy. And let me ask you, I mean, if one struggles to find something to praise God for, maybe you're listening right now and you say, yeah, I agree. It's right for us to be praising God in times of blessing. But Pastor, what blessing? Maybe that's what you're saying right now. Yes, Pastor, I understand we should be praising God in times of blessing. What blessing, Pastor? Maybe the pandemic is taking a toll on you. Maari na apektuhan ka ng gusto ng pandemya. You may have lost your job. Maybe your business. Let's not forget the younger ones. It's very difficult for them not being able to go to a regular school and be with their friends, with their teachers. Sa ating mga older ones, maybe you miss going out, or maybe you lost a loved one from this pandemic. And so I understand the struggle of trying to find ways of praising God. But may I ask you to look at verse 2 again? Kindly look at verse 2 and read carefully. Let Israel be glad in his Maker. If one ever lacked reasons to praise God, there is one great reason that is always at hand. It is always right and honorable for us to praise and rejoice in our Creator. Listen to James Montgomery Boyce commenting on this. And I quote, "The starting point for us creatures must be our acknowledgement of the Creator, since it's only when we have begun to know God as our Creator that we can appreciate what we owe Him and understand how we have failed to praise and thank Him properly." Now, in its historical context, it was most likely that this psalm was written when the nation Israel returned or was about to return from the Babylonian captivity. They indeed should celebrate the faithfulness of Yahweh, as He was faithful to His word that in the right time they would be indeed set free from captivity. It was Jehovah, it was Yahweh who made Israel to be Israel. Therefore, let the founder of the nation Israel be had in perpetual honor. Walang blessing? Look at the mirror. Your very existence is a blessing. You woke up today, that is a blessing. But it goes on. Look at verse 2, last portion. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Ang Diyos ang manlilikag. He is the Maker of all humanity, but is recognized as King over His people. If you're a believer, double ang blessing. He is your Maker. But if you're a believer, He is your King. He reigns over you. And this recognition should be a source of incomparable joy para sa atin. Then and now, di ba pag mayroong head of state na magbibisita, it's a celebration, right? God's people, listen, should regard it as a special and joyful occasion to recognize and enjoy the presence of God. What blessing? Friends, your very existence is a blessing. Your very life is a blessing. Listen to Charles Spurgeon. "The true splendor of kings lies not in what their people do for them, but in what they do for their people. And herein our Lord excelleth in all the princes that ever lived." Ang glory dito, mga kapatid, ang kapuri-puri dito is this. Our King died for us. Kings don't do that. Subjects should be dying for their kings. But our King died for us. Your very existence and your very eternity, you owe it to God. So we have all the reasons to praise Him. The writer exhorts us to sing a new song. The writer exhorts us to just be glad in His blessing and in the fact that we exist because of Him and in the fact that we have eternal life because of Him. But thirdly, the composer calls us to praise. Look at verse 3. Let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and lyre. Yung third commandment has the effect of let loose. No, ibigay niyo na lahat. Ibigay todo. Don't stifle your praise. Let it out. In the days of the psalmist, it's very common for God's people to literally dance for joy. Literally dance for joy. And play on musical instruments when they are filled with praise. Diba na nalalayo si David? David danced in the street when the ark was brought back into the city of David. Remember that? 2 Samuel 6. Si Miriam din, yung kapatid ni Moses, danced in praise of God as the Israelites were set free from Egypt after they crossed the Red Sea. The dancing in Scripture was done out of praise in one's heart to God for His blessings and deliverance. May I ask you, it's very practical. Do you play an instrument? When God blesses you, when you realize your very existence is a reason enough to thank Him, play the instrument and sing for God. Gather your family around and sing to the Lord. Especially now, you have all the time. If you don't know how to play an instrument, then just sing together with your family. Just sing. Be glad. And praise Him. Ang punto po ng unang tatlong verses ng Psalm 149 is that we are to enjoy our time of blessings in full measure. In full measure. We are to give our Lord fresh, unrestrained exclamations of praise when He chooses to pour out His abundance upon us. And when you feel you don't see any blessing, look at your very existence. May I ask you, how do you celebrate blessings? When you are promoted, when you have financial abundance, when you have an encouraging doctor's report, or merong talagang celebration lang sa family, when something wonderful occurs, consider adding a time of thanksgiving and praise to your celebration. Hindi kailangan na parang buong simbahan, no? No, it doesn't have to be that way. Simply offer a prayer of thanks or lead your friends, godly friends, lead your whole family in a song of praise. And when you find it hard to find such blessings, kindly realize that the God who deserves your praise is the one who made you, is your king, and He's sovereign over you. Sana sapat na yon para magpuri tayo sa Panginoon, hindi po ba? For praise to be a lifestyle, we ought to be praising God in times of blessings, be it physical abundance or just with our very existence. Right? And this leads us to the second heading. How do we develop a lifestyle of praise? We praise the Lord in times of blessing, and this time we see that we should be praising God in times of suffering. Yung song of celebration in Psalm 149 is like a rallying cry, urging all of God's people to praise the Lord regardless of their circumstances. And that includes times of testing. Times when you don't feel like boasting on God because of your suffering. Look at verse 4 to 5. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. You may ask, why do we say that this is a time of depression or times of struggle? By merely seeing the word salvation, that means rescue. By merely seeing, let them sing for joy on their beds. Right? Giving us a picture of someone on their bed and commanded to be joyful. Because he's not. Have you had those? Na nag-iiyak kayo sa kama na lang na naluluha kayo? And let's listen to what the psalmist has to say. I think mas magandang tignan natin yung 4 with the palitan natin yung 4 with a more appropriate word because. Pareho lang naman yun eh. So when we replace 4 with because, it would read this way. Because the Lord takes pleasure in His people, He adorns the humble with salvation. Right? And this separates yung verse 3 at verse 4 from the previous section. At nakikita rin natin dito ang transition from blessing into a time of suffering. When life is difficult, what we see here is this. And can you see that? While difficult circumstances are inevitable in life, the Lord always takes pleasure in His people. Did you see that? In other words, suffering, listen, is not the result of God's displeasure. Of course, suffering is a consequence of sin. We live in a fallen world. And there are times that suffering is a consequence of sin natin. But generally, it says that suffering is not the result of God's pleasure. No, no, no. Especially in this section, we see these two statements in verse 4 regarding the way God views those who are suffering, especially His people. He takes pleasure in His people. Yung Hebrew, dyan, has the meaning of to accept favorably, to be pleased with, to be satisfied with. Diba, pag nag-struggle tayo, whenever we're in a rough time, when we're going through some difficulties, we feel completely unloved, diba? We feel useless, we even feel rejected. Kaya nga yung suffering is usually yun yung panahon na mahirap magpuri sa Diyos. But this verse is telling us the opposite. It says that God accepts us favorably. He is pleased with us even when we don't feel like praising Him. Even when we are going through some rough times. Even though when we're laid aside and we're struggling. Yun pa lang dapat ma-encourage na tayo. Especially when we're afflicted with pain. Maybe you're sick. You may be in a hospital room right now. Even right now, you may be sick. You may be in a hospital room right now. Or you may be alone right now. You may be depressed because of the difficulties of the pandemic. Take heart. God continues to love you and looks upon you with favor even though you don't feel like that is the case. But it gets better. Not only does God take pleasure in His people, it reads, He adorns or beautifies His people. To be technical, this verse says that God will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation, with deliverance. And this is true, diba? The Hebrew term rendered as adorn means to make beautiful, to glory, to glorify, to adorn. And I think we have two meanings here. Yung una yung literal. Diba, whenever you're struggling, whenever you're having difficulties, when you're sick physically, when you're depressed, when rescue comes, when healing comes, when financial help comes, when the sunshine of hope shines on you. Diba? Beauty returns. Diba? Umaaliwalas ang iyong ang iyong countenance, right? The long facial lines of stress begins to fade. The light returns to the eyes. The whole countenance is lifted. Therefore, God beautifies you and me. Diba? Mas maganda pa sa filter ng cellphone. And this is wonderful. In times of trouble, God sees you and is still pleased with you. because you're His. Diba? And He beautifies you. He sends rescue, and whenever He does, it lifts up our soul and countenance. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. Take note, His people, you're His. He adorns the humble with salvation. Those who are helpless, when He rescues you, He beautifies you. And therefore, there's a call for the godly to exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. In a broader, non-literal sense, let me just suggest. Diba, I don't know about you. I mean, for me, the most beautiful people I've known are those who live long years with affliction and remain faithful. Those who have been scarred by disease, pain, and paralysis. Si Joni Erickson Tada. She's probably one of the most beautiful women I've ever met. Imagine mo, di ba? Nasa wheelchair, but has a beautiful disposition, right? Those people who are bedridden, these beautiful sufferers, may radiant sila sa kanilang mga mukha. I remember a time when I was going to a hospital to minister to someone, and she returned minister to me because seeing her, the glow in her eyes as she was suffering and she was still ministering to the other people in the room with her, their attitude towards suffering prompts me, it should prompt us to praise, give praise to the Lord. The Lord will beautify and glorify His suffering saints. Temporarily, when He sends rescue, and ultimately, when eternity with Him takes place. In a place where there's no suffering, no more pain, no illness, no death, and no tears. Praising God is not a natural response in times of suffering. It requires supernatural help. Kaya, as we go through struggles, we need to take hold of God's promises. Again, look at verse 4. Capital letters, Lord, the faithful one. The faithful one takes pleasure in His people. You are His. And He sends help. And that would beautify you, lift up your countenance, and just makes you exult in glory. Sing in on your beds. I don't know where you're at right now. Yes, it's easy for us to praise the Lord when the times that we're in are just full of blessings. Kanina sinabi natin kanina, if you're struggling with finding a blessing in your situation, the mere fact that you're created by God and that He's sovereign over you is blessing enough. But I pray that these verses would help you out in understanding that He still takes pleasure on you. He loves you. He died for you. And in His time, He would send rescue. He would send rescue to lift you up. But if that doesn't happen here, man, the hardships and sufferings in this earth would pale into comparison to the glory that awaits you and me when we see Him face to face. And that should help us develop a lifetime of praise, even in times of suffering. Even in times of suffering. This leads us to our last heading. Psalm 149 is not only a call to praise the Lord in times of blessing, an encouragement to praise Him in times of suffering. It's also a call to arms, to get ready for warfare. Look at verse 6 to 9. Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all His godly ones. Praise the Lord. So verse 6, the people of God were told, in effect, while you're singing praises to God, yes, it's natural for you to do that when there's a blessing, but when you're struggling, you encourage yourself to embrace truths that God is pleased with you because you're His, and He will beautify you and He will send you help. But keep your sword ready. Be on guard. Be ready. And again, in the historical context, this may be a picture drawn from the days of Nehemiah. Remember, nung panahon ni Nehemiah, pinauwi ang ilan sa mga Hudyo so they could set up and they could establish the walls of Jerusalem. And as they were rebuilding the walls, they were singing praise to God as they were working. But they maintained battle readiness against people who might attack them. So meron silang mga swords, di ba? If you remember your Bible, as they were building the walls, they were singing praise to God, but they were ready with they have their swords with them. The visual picture is a worker with them, masons, parang siguro mga shovel in one hand and a sword in the other. In other words, this is saying, don't drop your defenses. Don't become disheartened when you are downtrodden. Don't give up, because victory is inevitable for those who remain faithful. And this is talking about, yes, victories in this life, but victory in eternal life. In practical terms, the message is saying, stay faithful to the Word of God. Diba? Ano ba ang Word of God? The sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. The two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. When we are suffering, we have the tendency to be weak in the faith. Diba? But that only happens when we fail to feed our hearts and our thoughts with God's Word. Praise, like a fragrant blossom, diba, nalalanta lagi. Mabilis malanta pag hindi dinidiligan ng salita ng Diyos. The sufferer here is encouraged to hold fast on the sword of truth. To the sword of truth. Diba? This is one of the reasons why when we visit the ill, diba, we read the Bible to them so that it would help them. It would help us when we're suffering to be embracing the two-edged sword, to be on the guard, because there are a lot of things that can rob us of our joy. Be on the guard and be in the Word. Now, verse 7 and 9 are perhaps the most difficult to understand in this song. So it is important for us to interpret this, as we said kanina, with the believing Jews in mind, the Jews in mind. Look at verse 7 to 9. So 6, let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. So, the enemies of Israel were enemies of God, okay? And so Israel was to be on the guard, to be aggressive with regards to the nations, na, especially particularly the Canaanites, right? Pero if you would look at scripture, they were to be aggressive, to be militant dun sa mga taong nandun sa Canaan, right? But once they were given the land, what do we see? They were never permitted by God to conquer other lands, di ba? They did not go beyond Canaan. Only they were to defend their own. The land given to Abraham and his descendants was considered holy ground. Yung territory na yun ay pag-aari ng kaharian ng Diyos. Therefore, invaders were subject to God's judgment. So, that is the picture here. And God uses Israel to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. Those who desecrated the kingdom of God because they are God's enemy. And sabing ganun ng talata, this work of judgment was actually written. Where are they written? Deuteronomy, so Joel, and Zechariah. So that's what we see in verse 7 to 9. But practically, however, verse 7 to 9, yes, 7 to 9, we should look at the context, looking at Israel as they were commanded to be ready, as they are going to be used by God to be defending the land, the holy land against God's enemies. But practically, as we look at 7 to 9, this is an exhortation to the Christians today to stand and fight against the schemes of the evil one. Our warfare is not in the realm of the seen, friends, but the unseen. Not in the tangible realm, but in the spiritual realm. This is precisely what 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5 is saying. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So, let us be as aggressive and as militant as Israel was against their foe to our spiritual foe, to false teachings, right? To false doctrines, false philosophies of ministry. We should be on guard because they can rob us of our joy. At sabi nga ng verse 9, as we look at this section, looking at the implications and applications for the modern day believer, verse 9 says, this is an honor. Honor ito for the godly ones. Listen, to think that God would even allow you to be part of His army, to be part of His, di ba, one of His soldiers, is a great honor indeed. And so, friends, may He be praised as we are being equipped for battle, being empowered for the fight, being anticipating the victory because of His grace and through His word. Pag hindi ka na nagpipraise sa Panginoong Diyos, you need to understand that that is spiritual warfare. But the victory is ours. The victory is ours. We may not have it here. I mean, yung blissful life, we definitely would have it in eternity. And as we look at Psalm 149 again, the song ends with how it started. Praise the Lord. Telling us that Yahweh is indeed deserving of our praise. Friends, Psalm 149 encourages the people of God to praise Him at all times. Kahit anong pangyari. Especially, of course, in times of blessing, we praise Him. In times of suffering, we praise Him. And as we go through suffering, we need to be ready for warfare because indeed, it is a warfare. Pag naunawaan natin na ang mga bagay na ito ay dapat nating ipaglaban at yakapin, then we can honestly say that we can indeed praise the Lord in every situation. In every situation. Sana po yung hymn na ito, sana yung compilation ng hymns in the book of Psalms would lead us to sing a new song to Him, praise Him ever regardless of our situation, and be on guard as we fight the battle, a victorious battle, by the way. And may we be seen as people who has the conviction to live a life of praise. I want to end with this. Si Charles Wesley po, marami siyang sinulat ng mga, of course, books, but he also wrote hymns. One of the hymns that he wrote is fitting to conclude our study on this wonderful Psalms. The title of the psalm, hymn is, "Oh, for a Heart to Praise My God." Let me read to you the song. "Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me, a heart resigned, submissive, meek, my great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord of thine." Wonderful, wonderful song. I pray that the truths that we heard from Psalm 145, that God is a glorious God and He is a faithful God and He is a great God, and the call for us to daily praise Him until eternity would be seen as we embrace the truths that we've seen in Psalm 149. To develop a lifestyle of praise is to have the conviction to praise Him in times of blessings, to praise Him especially in times of suffering, and as we do so, to be praising Him as we are in warfare. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for giving us a glimpse. We're just merely scratching the surface, O God. But Lord, for now, this is more than enough. And thank You for teaching us. Thank You for showing us that indeed, this is a command for Your people to give You praise. And You've given us, Lord, reasons why. You've given us beautiful reasons why we should. And thank You, Lord, for giving us ways on how to do that. Dalangin ang puso namin, Panginoon Diyos, ay matunghayan Niyo kami lahat na nagpupuri sa Inyo dahil kayo po'y kapuri-puri. And we pray that our praise, our boasting, and our glorying in You and in Your name would not be confined to our situation. But may we be found, Lord, celebrating You, boasting in You, ever regardless of our situation. We thank You, Lord. We thank You. And we pray that we would be found as people who are not just hearers but doers of Your word, heeding to the call to praise You at all times. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you all next week. God bless you.